Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 9, the stanzas 1 and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God, I will make my prayer unto thee. And what follows? Psalter 9, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 2, the verses 1 through 11. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 2, the first 11 verses. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer the family of Stephanie DeVelda, who suddenly has exchanged time for eternity on Friday, July 17, at the age of 19 years. And Landon, the 2-year-old son of Mr. and Mrs. Brendan Grisnick, who had a serious accident, is in the Calgary Hospital and will undergo surgery this morning to remove part of his skull to relieve the pressure on his brain. And Cornell and Betty DeCock, who in this week hope to commemorate their 40th wedding anniversary. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy providence and in thy condescending mercy, and in the way of thy patient long-suffering, that we and our children may still experience another Lord's Day upon the face of the earth, and that a portion of the congregation may come up to thy house. The greatest portion is still called to remain in their dwellings, where they may listen along. Then in the past week, then we have stood with the mourning family and congregation on the cemetery, to bury a beloved husband, father, and further family member. And then a few days later, then the tidings were heard that it is pleased thee to take out of the midst of a family circle so suddenly and unexpectedly by means of an audible accident. Oh, from thy side there are no accidents. There was the means that thou hast used to cut off the brittle thread of her young life, as she was called out of this life and ushered into eternity, and her lot is eternally cast. O Lord, may it please Thee to remember that father and mother, the children, the grandparents, the whole family circle that have been cast into such deep mourning so suddenly and so unexpectedly. And may it please Thee to remember them. Oh, do uphold them and do strengthen them also from day to day. And when by renewal in the midst of that congregation, we shall be called upon to go to the cemetery, then surely, then Thou was something special to say. But, O Lord, if it is not applied by the work of the Holy Spirit, there can be sorrow, there can be grief, there can be tears. Oh, there can be much trembling. But then sooner or later we shall continue. And to that end we humbly ask Thee that this solemn calling may be used, that it may be sanctified, that Thy kingdom may come. O Lord, remember our young people. Then Thou wert also speaking unto them in a special way. The old can die, and the young can, the old must die, and the young can die. And then there is that one thing needful. May it be used that many may be given to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. We are still in the special day of grace. We have heard it out of Thy holy word, that Thou walketh among the golden candlesticks, and then Thou speaketh in many different ways. Then Thou also speaketh by the solemn tidings of death, O Lord. What maketh us and our children then to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all lying under the sentence of death, and we may still be in that precious day of grace. Then we humbly ask Thee that in the midst of all the callings, that we harden not our heart. Oh, take not the candlestick from amongst us and our children, but may that candlestick be given to burn brighter and brighter. Then Thy name shall be honored and be glorified. Oh, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways, and that a hastening may be born for our life's sake, while it can yet and while it may yet, Lord. Then also under this calling, under these callings, then wounds shall be reopened more recently and many years ago. Then we commend unto Thee all the mourning ones, the families, the fathers and mothers that were called upon to bring a son, a daughter to the cemetery, a husband and wife who were called to bring their spouse and other beloved ones. Oh, bind then the reality, the seriousness of life upon all our hearts. Oh, Lord, convert us as Thou hast converted all Thy people. Then of late Thou wast spoken in so many ways. We have heard it out of Thy holy word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But, Lord, then by nature, then our ears are stopped. But may they be unstopped under Thy word and under Thy manifold callings. And then on the same day, a little son has come in a serious mishap. Oh, he is in the hospital. Then thou wast still put thy hand between him and death. Thus far thou wast spared the brittle thread of his life. And now in this morning called upon to undergo a surgery, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may help the surgeons and that thou may spread thy gracious wings over him. Lord, we commend him unto thee for his body, but also for his soul. Oh, do take early possession of his little heart. And wilt thou remember and uphold father and mother with the family circle under these trying circumstances? May their eyes be upon thee. Grant a place at thy footstool, O wonder-doing God. Wilt thou remember them? Wilt thou remember the mother with her unborn? Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Remember all the mourning ones, all the afflicted ones. And then we remember two of our elderly ones in Bethesda who have cancer. And then we commend them both unto thee in their frail and weak condition. Remember them for body and for soul. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the troubles, the crosses. May they be used that we may be brought as poor and needy sinners at thy footstool for that one thing needful. Lord, we humbly ask thee for a blessing upon thy holy word. In this morning hour, thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. And may it please thee that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that they may be placed in their guilt, in their missing, to become a seeking soul, and to taste of the good things of the Lord, and to find a place at thy footstool as a poor sinner, with a burden of guilt and transgression, with the need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, because thy church learns that their sin that causes that separation and that breach, and thy church learns that they can never save themselves. Lord, remember thy children. Wilt thou instruct them? Wilt thou encourage them? Wilt thou comfort? And when it is necessary that they may be corrected, grant a closer life at thy footstool, and that they may be the light upon the world and the salt of the earth. Lord, thy church has become so dim, but may it please thee to remember them, and thou shalt remember them. But that thy children may taste more of the precious things of the Lord, of thy nearness, of that blessed communion, and to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. Wilt thou remember thy church all over the earth? Wilt thou remember and help all thy servants, elders, deacons, those that work on the mission field? Wilt thou remember the students, also the student who may speak an edifying word for the second Sabbath day? Wilt thou be his helper ever near? May he experience that thou knowest of him, and that the labors may be blessed. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Wilt thou grant a heart full of love and compassion? Wilt thou grant clarity of mind? And may our eyes be upon the King who was promised to never leave and to never forsake sent help from the sanctuary. O wilt thou strengthen out of Zion? O wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers among young and old? Lord, O wilt thou remember all the listeners, all those that may come up to thy house? May it please thee to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, that we come not to thy house, and that we remain not untouched and unrenewed. Oh, convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people. Remember the greater part that is called upon to remain in their dwellings, Lord. May the time soon arrive when the whole congregation may come up to thy house to keep holy day. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance, especially in the dwellings? Wilt thou help the children? Wilt thou grant them a holy attention where there can be so much that draws aside? But, oh Lord, not only for the children, also for the older ones. May it please thee to dwell richly amongst us. And then by renewal we have to confess, Lord, that there is no worthiness in our side. Our sins are great and manifold. A grand heart to acknowledge thee for all the blessings and for all the good things which thou hast left amongst us. Oh, when the family circles may still be together, when there is no empty place, but also when there is no separation, then we have many reasons to acknowledge thee. May it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance, Lord. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 80, the stanzas 8, 9, 10, and 11. I mourn and fail because of sin, a friend stern and dread away. Reproached am I and terrified, while foes conspire to slay. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the building and maintenance fund. Psalter 80, the stanzas 8 through 11. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Revelation 2, the verses 8 through 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know thy blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Our text words speak of the letter to Smyrna, the persecuted church, with four thoughts in the first place: the trials of the church. In the second place, the exhortation to the church. In the third place, the future imprisonment of the church. And in the fourth place, the promises for the church. The letter to Smyrna, the persecuted church, the trials of the church, the exhortation to the church, the future imprisonment of the church, and the promises for the church. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day, we have considered the message to the church of Ephesus. And now in this morning, we hope to meditate upon the message to the church of Smyrna. Then each particular church had a particular message that was addressed to that church, with their needs, with their sins, with their backslidings, but also with the many good things which the Lord has left in their midst. Then those churches, they were still worthy to receive a letter from the resurrected Christ. There are many places upon the earth where the Lord no longer comes with the truth of His holy word. Places, also these seven churches, where there have been so many children of God, where the candlestick was given to shine so brightly in the midst of that heathen culture and among the Jewish people, but where the Lord is left, and where that people remain in darkness, and all that people, they also have a soul for a never-ending eternity. And then what maketh us and our children to differ? And then the Lord speaks in so many ways. The Lord speaks in the first place through His holy word, but also in the past weeks. Then on Tuesday, we have stood on the cemetery to bring a 59-year-old husband and father, grandfather, and further family member to the cemetery. Thus, he was not 70, and he was not 80, of course, for our children and for our young people. Then 59 years old seems to be quite old already. But then on Friday morning, then we have heard the callings of a young daughter, 19 years old, with her dreams, with her expectations, that the brittle thread of her life was cut off so suddenly. As she was ushered into eternity, her lot is forever cast. And should it then not be the question, that was now me, if that was now you, young people, if your name had now been mentioned, that you were no more, then let me ask you, have you thought much about it? Has it brought you on your knees and that you thought, oh Lord, it was now me? And then if I do not have a new heart, if I am still serving the world, if I am still without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world, then how terrible it shall be to be called out of this life. Then amongst us also many classmates of Stephanie who went to school together with many years. And then what a difference that the Lord makes. Then surely, then the Lord is speaking. And what shall it work now out? Or must the Lord still come with greater callings amongst us and our children? Then we have heard it also from the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear. May we be given to beg the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise people, then we go on, and then it is always someone else. But we are all lying under the sentence of death, that they that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. May we as family circles, when the Lord spares us, then each Saturday night, also for a congregation, when we have all been spared, when the Lord still granteth health and strength, and when we may still come up to God's house, may we be given to pause and consider the blessings of the Lord. We have heard it in the Grisnick family. May the Lord remember that little boy and that family circle. And now in this morning, then the exalted Christ, he had a special message for the congregation of Smyrna. That is a congregation about 40 miles to the north of Ephesus, lies on the sea. It was a very prosperous city, a city of commerce. We would say in competition with Ephesus, had a harbor. Undoubtedly, then Paul on his third missionary journey, from the year 53 to 57 A.D., when he was the minister of Ephesus, then undoubtedly he also went to Smyrna, and proclaimed the word of God also in that city. It was a city steeped in superstition and idolatry, and in sports and in vanity, and there was no room for the word of God. But then the word was accompanied with the work of the Holy Spirit, because we read in Acts 19, verse 10, concerning the preaching of Paul, so that all they that dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. That city of Smyrna, that means myrrh, that is a precious anointing ointment with a sweet smell, comes from the myrtle tree, it is true. In the Bible, there were different kinds of myrtle trees, but we read of those myrtle trees in different places in the Scripture. When we think of the first night vision of Zechariah, then the prophet was given to see a rider upon a red horse, and then he was given to ride among the myrtle trees in a valley. Oh, they tell us it is true. The myrtle trees also grow in higher elevations, but they grow the best in the depths by the riverside. Oh, it is a tree with green shining leaves and with a beautiful flower. And then that ointment is gathered. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the church, when the church may dwell in the depth of humiliation. And then the privilege when the rider on the red horse, when he may ride upon them. Oh, we have heard it, that Christ, that he dwelleth among the seven candlesticks. And now a special message concerning the special circumstances of Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, we find in history, it is not clear, there are some that believe that Polycarp, that at this time already he was the minister of Smyrna. Whether that is so, we should leave it lie. And nevertheless, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Then in the introduction of the letter, then there are taken portions of the vision which John has seen in chapter 1, each church a different portion. And these are the words that John has heard that were spoken unto him concerning the exalted Christ. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And then in the introduction, oh, that has a special meaning concerning the circumstances of the church. Oh, so it is in the life of a child of God. And then how often when in the different circumstances, and especially in the midst of trials and tribulations, that they may receive instruction concerning who the Lord is. And then by renewal, that is written concerning each church, I know thy works. That's also concerning the congregation of Pitcher Butte. It's not only concerning these seven churches that Christ, as that omniscient God, has said to the church, I know thy works. But that is also concerning us and our children. And that is in our inner chamber, our family worship, our religion, our church going, our daily labors, all aspects, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. I know thy works. How has it been with our works congregation in this past week? Have we thought about it, boys and girls, that the Lord hears and that he sees everything, even what liveth in our hearts? Is the omniscience of the Lord, has that ever become a source of comfort for us and our children? I know thy works. And now the church of Smyrna, that is one of the two churches, also Philadelphia, but that is one of the churches that does not receive a reproof and a rebuke from the exalted Christ at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what a blessing. That tells us, not misunderstanding, because in James 3, verse 2, we offend all in many things. But then it implies that the church of Smyrna, that they had a close, a tender, and a dependent life, and that they were the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And now the exalted Christ is given to declare, oh, what a comfort for that church. Because there can be times when there are trials and difficulties, and when the difficulties continue, when they sometimes do not become less, but that they even become greater. Ah, that the church, think of Isaiah 49, verse 14, that Zion said, the Lord has forgotten and the Lord has forsaken me. Think of the children of Israel in Egypt, when they were so afflicted, and when there even came a time, cannot imagine what that is, when those Egyptian soldiers have come and ripped a little son from their mother's breast and took him to the Nile and cast him into the Nile for the crocodiles. Oh, then we read that people have cried, that they have groaned. And it seemed for a long time, although it seems that that casting into the Nile has not lasted such a long time, but they were under that bondage, making bricks for many years. And then when the Lord has come to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 7, oh, what a precious word he had to bring to the children of Israel. Because then the Lord says, I know all their sorrows. And that is what the exalted Christ, when he says, I know thy works, and then there are not mentioned some reproofs, some rebukes, as we read with five other churches, but that was a church and tribulation and poverty. In the first place, we shall say a few words about that poverty. It is true, it first mentions tribulation, but then after the poverty, it mentions also what that tribulation especially consisted of. And undoubtedly part of that tribulation, that was their poverty. Then that church of Smyrna, it is true, they were living in a city of great commerce. There's still a city that is present today called Izmir, about 1.75 million inhabitants. Thus a city of great commerce, a city that was prospering, and then for the living church, that they were not rich, but that Christ has said, I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty. Not so easy to be poor as struggling families, when month after month they are struggling to pay their bills. May I ask those families, Where has it now brought us? Has it now brought us closer to the throne of grace and closer to the Word of God? Because also those things, then we cannot remain the same, either hardened or humbled. How many times the Lord grants that people poverty also for their welfare, that they may be more dependent, more at the throne of grace, and they are tested and tried, whether under their poverty they seek an arm of flesh, or that they are given to dependently wait upon the Lord, to wait for those ravens. How difficult that is when those ravens stay away. Nevertheless, that church of poverty in Smyrna, since it first mentions tribulation, then it seems to imply that much of their poverty have come, that they have not compromised the Word of God, because that church of Smyrna, they were a separate people. And we read in Hebrews 10, verse 35, that the church has experienced the spoiling of goods. And we have heard some months ago, out of Revelation 6, that many times the church, when they stand fast according to the Word of God, when they do not compromise their principles, then concerning undoubtedly in Smyrna, then concerning their employment, many have lost their employment because they no longer came to the heathen temples and offered to the gods, that maybe there were some that had heathen employers. And although that they were diligent, but they have seen it, that they have no longer come to the temple, and that they were dismissed, or when young people have applied for a job, and when they were given to tell that they were a Christian, that they were not hired, thus undoubtedly in the congregation of Smyrna, much of their poverty has come about because that they were given to stand according to the Word of God. When we compromise with the world, then we shall not have so many troubles. But the church of Smyrna, but now Christ has said, "Ah, church, I know thy poverty." And to that end, Christ has added, and poverty, of course, we believe in the first place concerning that poverty, that it concerns temporal poverty. That does not exclude their spiritual poverty. Ah, the Lord has a church that experienced that they are so poor in faith, hope, love, prayer, thankfulness, patience, submission, humility, that they learn that they are so poor. But now Christ has added, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. How can that now be, boys and girls? That church in Smyrna, I know thy poverty. That's maybe the undoubtedly families were struggling to make ends meet. Maybe a few even had empty cupboards that the boys and girls have asked father and mother, what are we supposed to eat today? And that mother says, I don't know, but let us ask the Lord that he may be provide. And now Christ has said unto that poor church, the general rule, but thou art rich. How can that now be? To be poor and to be rich. Then concerning poverty, that is concerning the temporal life, and also of self, that they are poor, but that they are rich in an other. To make it clear for the boys and girls, when we think of those brothers of Joseph with their families, when they have went down to dwell into Egypt, they did not have so much. And yet, they had a brother who was very rich. And that brother Joseph, he went over all those storehouses that were full of grain. And now Joseph says to his family, when you run out, then you just have to come with your empty sacks, and then I shall fill them. Thus, in that respect, we could say that those brothers were rich because they had a rich brother. Of course, when those brothers of Joseph came with their family, then their thoughts have multiplied what they have done to Joseph. And now I read that Paul has written to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, all the church. They have such a rich inheritance. They have such a rich king. He owns everything upon this world, and he distributes everything at his will. And now those riches, we also read in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye might be rich. Oh, what a precious word. Ah, Church of Smyrna, you were struggling. You were poor. And then what a value those words have in that introduction, that I am the first and the last. Ah, Christ has purchased this people for body and for soul. I am he that was dead and is alive. But now that tribulation, and then we read, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. And what is meant by those words, would say they are Jews, perhaps they were Jews, but they have not lived as Jews, because the Jews had the law of God, and then to slander and blaspheme, that is against the Ten Commandments, or that they have come from other quarters and joined with the Jews, but then they have slandered and blasphemed the church. Thus, when they have come together, they have spoken of the Christians, and they have said evil things about them behind their back. Was not true. That is a blessing. How sad it is when church people give occasion to the community that they may be given to say bad things that are true, that the word of the Lord is blasphemed. That's what a calling we have with a baptized head. But should that now be a concern to the church of Smyrna, when they were given outwardly not to give offense? No, they were not perfect. Oh, if we would ask the church of Smyrna, the people of God, oh, how is it now? Then we would meet with those, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But a church that was given to walk according to the word of God, that were not given to give offense. Should that church now really worry about that slander and that blasphemy, when they with a clear conscience could say, this is not true? Oh, if we give offense, then we have many reasons to worry. But when they could honestly say before an all-knowing God, a clear conscience, that they have not given offense, oh, undoubtedly, then that synagogue of Satan that has even turned friends against the children of God, that maybe they have secluded themselves, that friendship was over. But also, when we read the history of the church, then many times slander and blasphemy that precedes persecution. That many thoughts are instilled into the world and that they get wrong impressions, the church of Jesus Christ, that they are proud, that they think they are better. We could multiply it out. Many examples in the church. And then it is so profitable, families, that together we read church history. I have time, I can say a few words about Polycarp. That is chapter 9 of the church history of Rigde, also fathers. Then you have a nice chapter in husbands to read to your wives and to your children. But many times in the history of the church, then there is slander and blasphemy. And when we think in our day of the media, how it is set against the church. In church history, if we think 102 years ago in 1980 against Armenia, if you read the persecution of that church, it was preceded by slander. And therefore, the tribulation of the church. Our second thought, the exhortation to the church. And then Christ has declared to that church, oh, how that church of Smyrna must have listened. Because it was addressed personally to them. And even more so, oh, fathers and mothers that were so poor, that were struggling, and people that were slandered, that many former friends that they have turned against the church, that church of Smyrna in the midst of that large city, where they felt more and more to be lonely. Oh, how that church must have listened. How do we listen in church congregation? And how do we compare? Because when we consider these letters, then they are applicable for the church of all ages. And then we would do well to examine our hearts. Which letter applies the best to our church? And for the people of God, the different conditions and different encampments. But how that church must have listened. And how the exalted Christ. Oh, he was given to comfort John. But also the church. Fear. None of these things which thou shalt suffer. Christ did not say some of those things. And there can be special things that the church suffers and that the church fears. Oh, in our day with so much prosperity, where does it now bring us, congregation? The goodness of the Lord. May it bring to repentance. But oh, what a comfort for the church. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. And now Christ has also said the reason why they should not fear. Oh, fathers and mothers, when they have children that have fears, and also our young people, although maybe you are afraid to speak of them, but what a fears there can also be in the lives of our young people. And then it is a blessing when there is openness in a family circle, and that you may be given to speak much of those fears, to given to speak heart to heart, because congregation, it can be that we do all in the family circle, and that in a certain sense we live beside each other, can even be with husband and wife, and that spiritual things are not spoken so much of. What a blessing it is that the Lord, in His wisdom and goodness, that He has given one day in seven, that especially we may tend to the needs of our soul. But that fathers and mothers can say to their children, "Oh, my child, be not so afraid. Let us hope that it turns out well." But that even father and mother, that they are just as fearful, although they try to comfort their children, and that they cannot really give a sound reason why their children should not fear. But now the exalted King, the Lord, when He speaks to His church those fears not, fear nots, then He also grants the reason why there is no reason why the church should fear. And that is written in the introduction, "These things saith the first and the last." We have spoken thereof when we have spoken out of the first chapter, the verses 9 through 11, that the Lord, that He is unchangeable, that He is the Alpha and the Omega in His essence, concerning His degree, concerning providence, concerning grace, concerning the ingathering of the church. And then He has added, "which was dead and is alive." Oh, fear not, Church of God, which was dead. That speaks of the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of the other two. Because if Christ had not been dead, oh, have you learned it? People of God, have you learned it? The necessity of the priestly office of Jesus Christ. If Christ had now only said, "I am He that liveth," and if it was never declared that He was dead, then the church could never be saved. Oh, then those other fears concerning their sins, has that ever become our fear, congregation? That is a fear that I wish for each and every one of you. Oh, may the death of a young daughter be used in our midst, that many by the work of the Holy Spirit, young and old, that we may be become busy with that one thing needful, with our sin, the sin that causes separation. The wages of sin is death. We are traveling to eternity. But I am He that was dead and am alive, O Church of Smyrna. I sit at the right hand of the Father, and there I reign over the whole earth. And then the enemy can do no more than what I permit. Ah, concerning the providence of the Lord, I have the ravens in my hand. And when there is need, ah, when there are beggars, then I only have to command, and then a raven shall be sent. Lord, as many different kind of ravens. What a comfort for that church. Oh, Church of Smyrna, it's not so easy. Many difficulties, but many trials. But I am He that liveth. Let us first sing. Psalter 414, let us only sing the first stanza. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. And what follows, Psalter 414, only the first stanza. The letter to Smyrna, the persecuted church. The trials of the church. The exhortation to the church. And now thirdly, the future imprisonment of the church. Christ has already told his disciples in that upper room, in John 15 and 16, that it is the lot of the church to be persecuted. 'Tis also the eighth beatitude. And now what was written specifically to the church, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Concerning the works of the devil, there is much mysterious that we cannot understand and that we cannot fathom. Nevertheless, there is much written about the devil in the scriptures. He cannot compel us, but he works in the medium of our understanding, our feelings and emotions. When we think of the works of the devil, then we think of Job 1 and 2. But then it is clearly written, and therefore, Church of Smyrna, fear not. Because the devil, he can do no more what he has permitted. He is also under the providence and dominion of an almighty God. And now when it says the devil, then the devil has many instruments in the world. What an awful thing it is to be an instrument of the devil, to grieve, to dismay, and to persecute the church. And now the devil, we have heard of that blasphemy. They were synagogues of Satan. And now the enmity would become so great that some of the church, that they would be cast into prison. History tells us it was under the reign of Marcus Aurelius. And it is true, the records of history, they are a little different concerning the date. And when we read, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that has been literally fulfilled concerning the minister of the congregation of Smyrna. Then we have already mentioned Polycarp. Oh, he was a student of the Apostle John. And we have said it is not so clear whether at this moment some believe, but it is not with clarity whether already he was the minister when this letter was written, or whether he has soon come so. Nevertheless, they tell us that either in the year 155, another history record tells us 168, it is not so important, but that in the midst of the persecution, Polycarp, he thought he would wait what would befall him, but his congregation has urged him that he may use the means, go into hiding, and then he is hid in a farmhouse outside of the city. But he was betrayed, went to another hiding place. He was betrayed by renewal. And then the soldiers have come. And then Polycarp, he was old. He has met the soldiers, placed the meal before them. And then he has asked whether he could pray, and he has prayed long. Then he has also carried the enemies of the church at the throne of grace. And then he was brought before the emperor. And then he was examined, and he was asked to deny his religion and his Christ. And then he was threatened to be cast before the animals, but that did not dismay Polycarp. Then he was threatened, first when he was examined, and when he was asked to deny his Savior, then that precious testimony. Do you know it, young people, fathers and mothers? Then read it together in this day. Then he was given to confess before the high ones of the earth. 86 years I was given to serve my Lord, and he has done nothing but good. He has saved me, and therefore I cannot curse my Lord and Savior. 86 years. We do not know exactly how old Polycarp was, but then it is clear, boys and girls, that Polycarp, that he has feared the Lord when he was very young. Oh, what a blessing when we may be drawn when we are young, and when it pleases the Lord that we may be used in the midst of the church as office bearers, but also godly mothers in the midst of family circles, and that we may be made useful upon this earth for 86 years. And then first he was threatened to be thrown before the animals, then to be burnt. Then Polycarp says that fire only burns for a short time, but there is another fire. That is an everlasting fire, and that burns to all eternity. and that shall be the portion of the wicked, of all the unconverted. And then he was burned on the stake. History tells us that the fire has went round about him, and that finally that he was killed with a sword. Oh, then Polycarp, he was taken into glory. And then Christ has said, cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Oh, what a word that word may is. Then church, then you are worthy to be tried. Gold is tried in fire to purify it. But when we have a lump of clay, that is not put into the fire, boys and girls, then we know that it is clay, that it is not worth so much, but now gold. We read of that trying of their faith in 1 Peter 1, the verses 6 and 7. Ah, that ye may be tried, Church of Smyrna, you are found worthy to be tried, that the gold may glitter more and more. And ah, the church that trying always goes through the depths. But what a lessons that are learned concerning that trial. And the church learns that so much must be tried. But in that trial, then the Lord has promised that the Lord will keep them, that the Lord will remember them, and that the Lord will uphold them. 10 days of tribulation. Thus those days are numbered. For the church, there are different thoughts, whether it has more a meaning in the context. It is a figurative language. When we think of the early church for a few centuries, they have been persecuted. But then in the year 313, when Constantine the Great, he has come to Rome and conquered the city. And to that end, he has become the ruler of the whole Roman Empire. And then in 313, then he has declared liberty, freedom of religion for the Christians. Thus 10 days, that means that it is numbered. It is in the hand of him that liveth forever. Our forethought, the promise for the church. And then we read, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. Is that now the work of the church? Oh no. But what Christ now exhorts his church to be faithful unto death, then that must be turned into a prayer. And then Christ is merited, and he grants for his people what he exhorts to. Ah, the church learns. It is only possible through him that is the first and the last. Thus also concerning that exhortation, be thou faithful unto death. Oh, for the church, what a fears there can be, and how their thoughts can multiply. But now would really come to it. It's easy to stand in the pulpit and sin in church when there is no persecution. But now under persecution, to continue steadfast. For fathers and mothers, you now have to choose between your family and prison, and even between life and death. But be faithful unto death. And for encouragement, I will give thee a crown of life. Possible through him who was dead and is alive. Christ, he has merited that crown for his people. It's a crown of eternal bliss. He has worn a crown of thorns. He was willing to suffer and die. Was dead and is alive forevermore. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, he that hath an ear. The church of Smyrna, special things have been said about them. Then we must examine our heart. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What do we mean by the second death? The first death, that is when we die. Separation of body and soul. And then for God's people, then their soul, are taken into glory. But for the unconverted, the moment of their death, and with their soul, they shall experience that second death, and that is hellfire, which shall never be quenched. That is the portion of the damned. And now it is written to the church, he that is faithful, oh, by renewal, he that overcometh may continue to the end, shall not taste of that second death. What a blessed word. What a blessed church. No reproof, no rebuke. It is true. Not such an easy life. But even under that poverty and that tribulation, oh, when the child of God considers their heart, then also under poverty and tribulation, then many times they need a rebuke because of their unbelief and because of their murmuring as the children of Israel in the wilderness, not submission, and they have so little patience, ready to give up. But now that church in Smyrna did not receive such a rebuke. Oh, the church, they would receive a crown of life. Paul has spoken, written to his spiritual son Timothy, in 2 Timothy 7, verse 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth, a crown is laid up for me, which shall be given to me by the righteous judge at the last day, and to all those that are waiting for his appearing. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may grant the graces and the patience and submission which thou wast given to that church of Smyrna, where there was no need of reproof and rebuke, but where their candlestick was given to burn brightly, and even that candlestick would be purified more and more by the fire of tribulation. And then thou hast encouraged them by many precious promises. O Lord, wilt thou grant the application? Wilt thou fill with a holy jealousy? May what we be given to hear each time we come up to thy house, when we may listen along, that the text words, that they may be brought in our knees, in our inner chamber, around the family table with family worship, and that it may be turned into a prayer, that thou may work mightily, irresistibly and lovingly, amongst us and our children. Ah, we have heard of a church that was persecuted. And then when we may behold, when our eyes are not blinded, when we are given to see and hear of the enmity of the world against thy church, against thy word, against the living church, that it is greatly on the increase. May we be given to stand under all the circumstances, that we do not halt upon two opinions, that we do not compromise, but that we may be found as beggars at the throne of grace. Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us and keep us in the furtherance of this day? Wilt thou remember the brother elder who was called upon to read a sermon in this afternoon hour? Oh, make it easy for him. May thy word be blessed. Grant traveling mercies. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422, stanza 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is ever our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God, our shield, is over us. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The first wedding announcement of Hendrik Oskam and Chesley Rosianna Vandenberg. A lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And holy baptism hopes to be administered the next Lord's Day in the morning to Group C. There will be baptism registration on Friday evening, and the fathers and mothers who are required to come to this baptism registration will be notified. Psalter 422, stanza 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.